Welcome to the Sandler Training Hour. On this podcast, every week we get together and talk through some of the Sandler rules that Jim's collected over time. Now, out of those rules, and it being April 1st, Jim, I wonder, do we have a collection of rules that may no longer seem relevant?
Well, there are certainly rules that have to be explained because if you don't understand it at first blush, it's like you almost expect someone to say after they've made the statement, April Fools, just kidding. No, that's not a real rule. We don't believe
Yeah,
that.
that makes
For
sense.
example, the first one is leave your child in the car with the window cracked.
Oh, yeah, and I bet this is an actual rule from the past.
It
Is it?
is a real rule.
Yeah. So, and it's pulling up a reference to the ego states of parent, adult, and child. And it's just sort of saying, don't bring your child, your ego state to the sales call. But maybe it's funnier in the 60s and 70s.
Or maybe even 80s.
Or maybe even 80s. Maybe it's just no longer relevant.
The reality is the emotion in the three ego states, parent, adult, and child, emotion lives in the child. So one of our other rules is the only one that should be emotional in a sales call is a buyer. And
Yeah.
if you get emotionally hooked into the sales call, you forfeit a position of objectivity. So leaving your child in the car is things like, I don't know if you've been around salespeople who they almost come across as backslapping politicians, use crass or coarse humor to try to, I mean, it's those kind of things that can really come across childish that undermines your credibility. So leave
Yeah.
your child in the car with the window
That's a good one. What are some others?
cracked. Another one, failure strengthens your gut system. Now, I don't know if you feel this way, but I kind of want to say April Fools, because I don't really care for failure. And, it's interesting. In my experience, one of the greatest motivators in high achieving individuals is fear of failure.
Yeah.
The thought of failing drives them to excel. The downside of that is if you're not failing, you're not strengthening your gut system. You're not taking risks that you know are out of your scope, out of your
Oh, I
ability.
see.
You're not pushing yourself to a level that could really compel a stronger self-image, stronger self-esteem. You just gotta. Failure strengthens your gut system.
Yeah, this one's like 50-50 for me. I can see it being true. I can see reasons why we might remember it. And then also, I just see it as a really confusing statement because I don't know what your gut system is.
Again, 70s, 80s. We
No, I
didn't even
hear.
have to think about that. Trust your gut. It's part of your intuition, right? It's being in tune to your inner self. Next one. Success in any venture sometimes depends more on the will to jump than on being concerned about what will happen if you fail.
Oh, yeah, this is right out of the Fearless playbook of just do it, right?
Right? The April Fool's in that is, you mean you want me to blindly leap without considering the consequences? And that isn't quite what we're saying. How would you interpret, Jason?
Well, so I think that some people need to hear this. Don't let preparation get in the way of taking the first step. But I don't think everyone needs to hear that. I don't think that there's enough procrastination in the world for everyone to need to jump as soon as possible to figure out if they'll succeed. And the fear of failure at the end of it just seems like the cherry on the cake that sort of carries the statement. I just.
It's taking those risks that have a, well, it actually really plays back with the previous one, which is failure strengthens your gut system. If I know that I have to take, I'm contemplating a risk, I'm contemplating a leap, And the downside is I would fail but learn, and I can live with that. And the upside is something I really want. Let's take that risk. I think it can really help being a best case, worst case player. When you're evaluating an action, what's the best thing that can happen? What's the worst thing can happen? I'll take action. And for one person, courage may be totally different than from another person. We were talking recently on in our training on making relationship calls. They're just soft calls to past clients. And multiple people shared their deep felt fear and trepidation in calling a past client. And they'll say intellectually, I know these people will appreciate hearing from me. I'll know they'll be genuinely happy that I called, but there's something in me that just terrifies me about making that call. Well, that's some form of call reluctance. So weigh it. What's the worst thing that can happen? What's the best case? Pick up the
Yeah.
phone.
I agree with that. And I think it leans into the end result, which is put together a plan and you can bet on the outcome, right? So removing all planning stages sort of gets in the way of our general overall theme, which is be calculated in the risks that you take. Some risks are worth more than other risks, so to say.
The next one is right now you are making exactly what you think you're worth, not a penny more and not a penny less.
Yeah, I don't
April
know.
Fools. I mean,
Yeah,
there
I
is
feel
an
like
element.
egos have grown a bit.
What's that?
I feel like egos have grown a bit. There's
I
a fair amount of entitlement out there that we like to joke about, but I can see someone reading this and be like, no, I'm worth way more than I'm making.
the fact that you may think you're making right more, you're worth more, the fact that you're not making it is a function of a lack of clarity. So being really clear on what do I see my value as? And I'd say in my career, I have spent my life being virtually self-employed, and every raise I got and every pay cut I received was a direct result of my activities, right? I had agency to do or act or respond in ways that either enhanced my ability to make money or diminished it. And in the final analysis, it really is a mental battle. It's having that self. I mean, think about the fear of raising your prices.
Yeah, so I think the hashtag in it or the asterisk is if you're an owner or a salesperson, 100% this is probably more true than for the average worker in a field.
I don't know. I think I could resist that simply because opportunity doesn't come exclusively from work.
Yeah, that's true.
It comes from having the mindset that sees opportunity where other people see obstacles. I remember the first, I don't know what you'd call it, extracurricular house I bought. It was from a client. And they wanted to get rid of it. They knew it needed too much work. I offered to pay them for it. I think I bought it for like 36,000. I
Yeah, here
so
comes these old yarns about
it was in the north end
that.
of Boise. I probably sold it for a $10,000 profit. That house today would be worth $500,000 without fixing it.
Yeah, probably way more than that.
But it's seeing the opportunity and saying, because I didn't have the money, but I put the deal together and made it work. So it's really looking beyond what can I reasonably expect and what could I leverage.
Yeah, I think that's true.
The last one is really about product knowledge. Only use what you know in relationship to taking care of your prospect's pain. April
Oh,
Fools.
yeah, I'm not sure how to take that.
It's like, I think most of us feel compelled to take the knowledge we have and share that knowledge with the people we're trying to sell.
Yep.
I mean, after all, they'll buy from me if they know I know what I'm talking about, and obviously I know what I'm talking about. I just need to use the knowledge I have to help them see how to fix their problem. But
100
it's not
percent.
about fixing their problem, it's about understanding their pain.
Yeah.
And that is a good note to end on, because it's really a complex and in-depth reality that we default to solving problems and putting band-aids when a tourniquet's needed.
Yeah, make the sales call about their pain, not necessarily about their solution. If you understand what someone's going through, they'll be more sure that you understand how to fix it. Well, it's fun to go down memory lane. I'll remember the next time that I have, in this case, my dog to leave the window down. If I do leave him in the car, but maybe we just don't leave kids or animals in car.
It's a bad one. April Fools.
April Fools.
Yeah,
All right, you found yourself here. Look at the information below if you're interested in contacting us. We'd love to hear from you. Be well.